So we just wanted to start off with the definition of fun. The definition of fun is Isaac and Caleb. Take it away, Caleb.
Well, before that, we're going to talk about fun. And but before that, I want to pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for fun. Thank you for joy. And thank you that for you. So speak through us, and we need your help. And keep us all awake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so I want to start off with a story. Is that okay with you guys? You guys like stories? Okay, cool. Once upon a time, there lived a teenager. His first name was Late, and his last name was Procrastinate. He would put things off and often overlook things. He loved his social life, and he loved sleep. His best friends were named Busy and Forgetful, and boy, did he like to hang out with them. Unfortunately, he also served in children's ministry. He would wake up 30 minutes before and show up right when they start worship. He would often come unprepared and unenthusiastic. And as a result, Sunday school felt like a chore to him, and the kids were chaotic. Oh, if you can relate to one or two of these things, you probably related to me, because I was that kid. And if you can't, then why the heck are you here? You want to have fun. You might be wanting to have fun, but you're struggling because there's chaos and it feels like a chore. Well, here are some things you need to know before you have fun. So first, fun is the fruit of firmness. And in order to reap the fruit of fun, you need to sow the seeds of discipline and order. Isn't that interesting? Fun is the fruit of firmness. So the foundation of having fun is being firm. What do I mean by that? By firm, I mean being firm with the rules. Rules provide order. Without order, there'll be chaos, believe me. Just think about it. In an everyday life example, baseball. Baseball wouldn't be baseball without the rules and boundaries. It wouldn't be baseball. It would just be a bunch of people with bats and throwing their balls everywhere, you know? Or same with basketball. If there's no rules, it wouldn't be basketball. And that is the same way in your classroom. So the foundation of fun is firmness. And you need to reap that by sowing the seeds of discipline and order. So how do you do that? Number one, have rules. It's the yin to the yang, the mac before the cheese. So often, kids will only have the rules repeated to them when they break them. That's when they hear the rules. And so often, that's when they hear it. And you don't get it. Sometimes that leaves just a negative idea of rules in their minds, when in fact, rules isn't a negative thing per se. It's a necessary thing. So first off, you need to establish to help the kids realize that rules are a necessary step to having fun. Number two is be firm. Don't budge with the rules. Can you imagine if a ref in basketball just started like changing up the rules? Everyone would hate him and it wouldn't work. Keep the order where there is disorder. When kids raise their hand and talk over you and you're being a pushover and you're inviting chaos, and that's not good, unless it's a controlled chaos. Don't be afraid of having rules. Rules is not a negative thing. It's a necessary thing. And here's a little tip. I tell them, hey, how many strikes do you get in baseball? And they're like, two, three, three? Okay, that's how many strikes you guys will get. First strike, I'm going to separate you from your peers. Second strike, you're going on timeout. Third strike, you're out. Brittany. Three, have authority. Man, you got to lead your class like you believe it. You got to preach the word like you believe it. Preach it like it's the inspired word of God. Just think about that. Preach it like Jesus died for your sins. You know, do you think a kid will want to follow a pushover or someone who is a teacher of the word who's has no authority and doesn't preach like there's authority? No, they're not going to want to follow that. They want someone that's excited, someone who believes what they're preaching. And number four, structure. There's reason why there is an MC for any good wedding. They bring the energy, yeah, and they hype people up. But really, they're hired for to communicate the structure of the event. So there's an event coming up, and now we're going to do this. That's what an MC is for. Imagine church without the structure. Just imagine a message, not Pastor Tim's, but a message where there was no structure. It would be so boring and rabbit trail and make no sense. Imagine worship without any structure. They don't have the chords. They just play and sing whatever they want. That'd be horrible, man. That wouldn't be music. So there needs to be a structure. For me, I have a structure. When they come in, they have something to do, whether it's crafts, whether it's drawing something. And then right after that, the kids know, right into the story. And after that, snacks, and then finally games to get all their snacks jiggled up. Finally, we have analyzed the crowd. Know what they like, okay? I know it was repeated, but we're going to just take everything and apply it, and the fruit is fun. So know what is relevant to them. If you use a football analogy, man, it's going to fly over their heads. Or if you're like a plumber and you're talking about something about plumbing and you use it and you're all cracking up, or you're cracking up about some kind of tax joke, the kids are going to be like, what? So talk their language. Know what they like, and you need to get to know them. If you don't want to get to know these kids here, then make your own. So they like Pokemon cards. They like heroes, princesses, slime. That's a new thing. So talk their language. Use these things as a hook, because sometimes if they're younger, you know, they're gonna be all over the place. But then it's funny when I mention something they like, they're just like, oh, you know. And so all these things need to be the foundation before we go into the fun. So with that, Isaac is up next.
Thank you so much, Caleb.
You're welcome.
Some of those he said were not in our notes. But going into all the fun, yes, he talked about the discipline, and that stuff is cool, but come on, we're here to have fun. And we're here to talk about fun.
Wow.
So, sorry. So going into it, Miss Lenora touched base on it a lot about the props and adding that in. And I kind of just wanted to regurgitate that, but in my own words. So I think it's a cool thing to know your story, as Miss Lenora's teaching, or how she was just sharing. And just like how they're reading over and over and like knowing your story, so that you don't have to constantly look down and be like, wait, what was that again? Like me looking at my notes, like just knowing your story. And for me, like, I think it's cool to have like a key verse that you look back to. So then I think it's kind of boring. If you read like the whole scripture, if it's like they were saying like it's three chapters long, you're like, I don't want to read three chapters. Like these kids are, I teach like, is it kindergarten first? Kindergarten first graders. Like they don't want to listen to that. They're going to get bored. So I like to pick a key verse that I can kind of look back on, or that's when I read it and just like know the story well. And a couple weeks ago, I was teaching Awana, and I was teaching on Adam and Eve. And for some teachers, it's good. You should prepare way in advance, like Miss Lenora. But I literally came to church, and I was like, oh, the Garden of Eden. Like, we have trees around our church. So I ran around church and literally stole every single church, every tree in the church. And I made a little stage, and I was like, obviously, we do VBS, so we have, like, we have animals, we have butterflies, we have these different things that I can use. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go grab those things. So I made this little like stage and this little like scene for them to be engaged in. So when they came into the classroom, they're like, oh my gosh, we're in the Garden of Eden. And just like drawing their attention in that way. I think it really like captivate their attention, but it also made the story really interesting for them. And Miss Lenora brought up, I use an orange as their fruit. So the whole time they're like, stinking Eve, she ate an orange when she wasn't supposed to, but I just said it was a fruit. But anyway, so, Caleb?
Yeah, so to add to the story, you got to be prepared. Maybe, there's times where you grab all the stuff. Isaac's just a pro, but I think Isaac was prepared. So you got to be prepared, and how you do that is I say put the rib in the crock pot. By that I mean the rib is the story, the crock pot is your brain. Put it in there and bake it good. And you know, as a teacher for the kids, you gotta prepare to give them the good stuff. You know, who here likes crab? Does anyone here like crab? Wow. Okay. Good. You guys have good taste. You don't give a kid a crab leg with the shell and throw it at him and say, "Go on, eat. It's good stuff." You know, you break the shell, you pull out that good meat, and you feed it to them and tell them, "Hey, this is the best thing ever. You better like it." You know, in the same way, that's your job. You know, hack away at the verses. Get out the key verses, and because they can't process the Bible in itself. It's not that they're unspiritual or anything. It's just because they're kids. So prepare the word for them and put it in that crock pot. So moving on.
Talk about leadership.
Yeah, so, you know, next stop is leadership. The way you lead is how the kids will follow. If you lead at 100%, they're going to follow at 50%. Some might notice. But if you lead at 150%, they'll follow 100%. So you got to be engaged and you got to be convinced, authority.
Thank you. So in order, like he was saying, to be a leader, like you have to be like 110. You have to be more than them for them to be engaged. And one way I like to do that is being, engaged. And one way for me to do that is with like the kids in like games. Like a lot of the times I'm not going to mention any names, but I have two little girls in my class that are like, we're playing a game, like a tagging game. They're just like, "Isaac, I can't do it. Like, I'm not as fast as the other kids. They're going to tag me. I always lose." And I looked at him straight in the eye. This is what you got to say, okay? My quote. I say, "If you tell yourself you're going to lose, you're going to lose. But if you tell yourself you're going to win, at least you got a chance."
Oh!
It's mine. So like, just being their biggest cheerleader, I think that's what helped me a lot as being a... There you go. Being a teacher is just being engaged in everything that they do. Like if a kid's like stand off, like go in like help, be with that kid, like ask him what's wrong, ask her what's wrong. You know, you see that example of Jesus and like he left like the 99 to go with the one. And even though you're in your class and you're like, "Okay, well I have a whole class to be with and I'm the only teacher in there. Like I can't just leave like my whole class and go with this one." But like, leave your class. Like, go with that one. The other kids are doing fine. Obviously, they're having a great time. Like, go to that one. And another one is just asking questions as we talked. Like, get involved in their lives. Like, ask questions like, "How are you? How are you doing? How was your week?" And not so much, I think the bringing the fun in it. You're like, fun questions like, "What's your favorite ice cream?" Like, get to know them in like different like fun ways, you know? And then bringing it to the spiritual stuff. Like pray for them and ask prayer requests like the teachers are saying, and like getting to know who they are and the prayer requests that they need, so that like in the coming like months or whatever, you're like, "Oh, did so and so in your family get healed? Did so and so in your family get saved?" Like get to know them because they want to know that you care about them. Oh.
Yeah, nothing much to add except that, yeah, make the game your own. You know, the worst thing you can do is read a game from the book and read the rules from the book. You know, instead of give it a little personal flavor, like your own flavor. And it doesn't have to be change the whole game around. It can be something really small. Instead of Simon Says, maybe it's Noah Says, you know. And because when you do that, you're investing your own personal You're investing yourself to it. Now you have some kind of tie-in, and you're engaged as much as the kids. I don't know about you, but the games I make up are the funnest, so, yeah.
So I wanted to just, our last point that I wanted to cover is, oh, shoot, look at them, coming in clutch. I think the last point that I want to cover is themed events. And what I mean by that is, This is a cool quote, okay? So it's easy for us teachers to forget about the reason why we're there in Sunday school class. It's easy for us to forget that it's about Jesus and why we're there, and we're there to teach the Bible, because we get into our snack and we get into the game time and you're just like, oh, I'd rather just put down some Oreos and feed them, or I'd rather just play a game and not incorporate the Bible story because it's easier. But I just want us to like realize like that's why we're there. You know, our whole entire time, like, we should be incorporating like the Bible story in everything that we do. And I think a cool way, as he said, Noah, like, say we're in Genesis and you're like, how do I incorporate that in the snack? Give them some graham crackers, all right? Build an ark, get some gummy bears, there's your animals, okay? Or gummy bears, that's only bears, get some animal crackers. You know, you got all the animals. So like, just engage him in everything that you do and just remind him like Jesus loves you, God loves you, like this is why we're here and this is what we're learning. And then last week we were talking about in 1 Samuel, talking about the Philistines and how they were like worshiping their idol. Some people pronounce it Dagon, whatever they say. I say Dagon. Sometimes they say dragon, but that's not what it's called. So in the story, how they stole the Ark of the Covenant or Ark of God, and they like put it next to their idol. And in the story, like, they came to like worship their idol, and they saw like their idol like bowing down to the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of God, whatever. And they're just like, what the heck? Like, how did this happen? So they just picked it up. They come back again, and this guy has like no head. Okay, his arms are gone. It's just his torso laying down. And okay, this is funny. So I said it to the kids, and I was like, his face. He was laying face down. He's like, how is he face down if his head was off? And I was like, that was a good question. I was like, that's what the Bible says. I don't know. I can't answer that. So it just says like his torso is laying down, and just before the Ark of the Oh my gosh, Ark of God. So, is it covenant? Okay, well, there you go. Ark of Covenant, translations. So, in our game, I was doing like sharks and minnows, all right? And obviously, if you don't know it, if you're the shark, you try to tag the minnows to get them on your side to tag everybody else. So instead of like thinking of a whole new Bible game, like, oh my gosh, like, I have to prepare something else, I just used sharks and minnows, but Philistines in the middle, and there were the sharks. And they were worshiping their idol on one side, and they had to run to the other side, to the Ark of the Covenant, and reach it. And I had the Philistine in the middle. It was your son. It was Luke. It was kind of funny. Because I was like, you have to try to tag the people. And he's like, okay, that's easy. And I was like, but blindfolded. And he's like, what? No. He's like, why blindfolded? And I said, because the Philistines were against God. And in order, like, you think of it like a whole picture. Like, the main part of the story is, like, there's no other God. There's no other gods before our God, because he's a true and living God. There's no idols that can even compare to him. So I said it's so easy for, like the Philistines, the bad guys, like, the enemy trying to knock you off your feet from getting to, like, the Ark of the Covenant, from getting to Christ. So I said, when you're rooted and grounded, which we're trying to get, like, our kids and, like, our students, whatever, in Sunday school class, we're trying to get them rooted and grounded in the Word so that when the enemy is trying to, like, take them down, like, it's hard for him. So I said, you're going to be blindfolded because it's not easy for the enemy to take you down if you're already rooted and grounded in Christ. So that's why I use that. And then most of them got to him. Some of them got tagged. But yeah, so just incorporating the story throughout your entire class time is very important and fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope you had an enlightened experience about fun. We hope you know more about fun. And if you guys ever want to know more, you can ask Isaac. But a closing thought, insecure leaders don't make good leaders. And when you're focused on the way you look, more than bringing life to the story, maybe acting a fool, pray that the Spirit will break through that. Pray that the Spirit would break through yourself so that the Spirit can flow out in the way that He wants you to. So, the way you lead, the kids and the junior hires will follow. And that's it.
Thank you.